This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News. I'm Sherry Preston. IDF spokesman Effie Defen says Israel had no choice but to strike Iran and strike hard this week.
We cannot allow the Iranian regime to obtain a nuclear weapon that would be a danger to Israel and the entire world.
President Trump telling ABC's Jonathan Carl he thinks Iran will return to the negotiating committee on nuclear proliferation.
He is still insisting that the solution here is a diplomatic one. He was on Truth Social earlier this morning saying Iran must make a deal before there is nothing left and save what was once known as the Iranian Empire. No more death, no more destruction.
Talks between the U.S. and Iran, scheduled for Sunday, will continue, even though Tehran says it has no intention of participating. After the initial Israeli strikes hitting nuclear facilities and top generals, Iran struck back, firing at least 100 drones into Israel. This is ABC News.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For WRCE 107.7 and AM 1450 News, I'm Tim Thede. The Wisconsin Joint Finance Committee voted to increase the bonding authority of the Safe Drinking Water Loan and Clean Water Fund program last week. The unanimous vote increased the bonding authority of the programs by over $730 million, which officials say could lead to increased funding assistance for wastewater treatment infrastructure projects across the state. Maintaining water quality has become a hotly contested topic over recent years as municipalities across the state struggle with PFAS contamination and general pollution issues. The Richland County Fairgrounds is the site of the 66th Wisconsin High School Rodeo State Finals, which runs through Sunday. Tonight and tomorrow night, the rodeo competition will be held in the grandstands. Special introductions will be at 7, and performances will start at 7:30. Tonight will also be Wear Pink for Grace Night. Tomorrow morning, the June Dairy Days and Rodeo Parade will step off at 10:30 in downtown Richland Center. Cowboy Church will be held Sunday morning at 8:30, and then the finals will be held with special introduction at 11:30 and performances at noon. Cost to attend is $7 Friday and Saturday and $9 Sunday for adults, $7 Friday and Saturday and $8 Sunday for senior citizens and students, and $4 all 3 days for children 6 to 12. Children under 6 are admitted for free. The 66th Wisconsin High School Rodeo State Finals this weekend at the Richland County Fairgrounds. For more information, you can contact Kenda at 608-475-1886.
It's the Brewers and the Redbirds. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Game 2 of the Brewers and Cardinals tonight. The crew with a 6-0 shutout of the Cards last night, thanks to Jacob Mizorowski in his first major league start. One of his fastballs measured at 102 miles per hour. Meanwhile, Aaron Civale upset he's being moved from the starting rotation to the bullpen and says he wants to be traded.
There's no ill will towards anybody in the city. It's been a great home to me and my wife for the past year. I know there's probably going to be some animosity towards this type of thing. There's a negative connotation when this type of thing comes around, but just trying to do what's best.
Brewers manager Pat Murphy responded.
I mean, we deal with players being unhappy all the time, and that's their right to do, and Aaron's got a great history, and he's performed well for this organization, and now it's time for him to go behave.
In college football, the Wisconsin Badgers fined by the NCAA for some recruitment violations, making calls to prospective players before the start date 2 years ago. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Mixed skies today with mild highs making it to the upper 70s. Still got a breezy east wind and, of course, chances of showers and maybe a small storm later this afternoon. Then tomorrow, plenty of sunshine and warm temperatures creeping 80 degrees. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 62 degrees.
Carmelo Anthony for the Bail Project.
Bad news, you've been arrested. Good news, your innocent is proven guilty. If you can pay your bail, Good news, you go home to wait your trial. If you can't, sorry, you go to jail to wait. But sure, you still presumed innocent. But since you can't afford bail, you've lost your freedom. That's not right. And that's why the Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting the in-cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
The Trump administration arresting and deporting these supposed gang members without giving them due process is one of the steps to becoming an authoritarian government.
Dale, thank you so much for the call. And again, I second all of that. Bring them all back and afford them the due process that's a part of our nation, a part of this law, and a part of our tradition in administering justice.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. We'll be live from WGBW in Green Bay, Wisconsin, along with the morning crew here, Mino and the mayor. Find out all things Green Bay. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4. This is News from the Center, WRCE.
Good morning and welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. You can leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up later on today, 6:35. Our broadcast starts as the Brewers host the Cardinals, and you can listen to the game on terrestrial radio on WRCE in Richland Center, WISS in Oshkosh, WRJN here in Racine and Kenosha, WCQM in Park Falls, and WBZH in Hayward. The crew hosting the Cardinals. Our broadcast starts tonight at 6:35. He joins us every Friday at this time to do some recombobulating. He is Civic Media's political editor, Dan Schaefer, in studio with us. Good morning.
Good morning, Jane. Good morning, Greg. Thank you so much for having me. Always a treat to join you on Matt and Air on Air. What do you guys think we should talk about today?
I don't know. We can just talk about weekend plans.
I am going to probably clean my garage. It's going to be really great.
No, you have a new column in the recombobulation area.
It's true.
That kind of is getting a lot of attention.
It's
getting
some attention. Opinion column.
It's opinion column in the recombobulation area. A little bit, stirring the pot a little bit this week.
I would say so.
Yeah, yeah. So why not, right?
In your column, Dan Schaefer, what do you opine about?
Well, the headline for the opinion column is Pass the Torch. Tony Evers should not run for a third term as governor. Obviously, we are in this moment right now where the governor has not yet made a decision. He has said repeatedly that he will make this decision about whether or not he will run for a third term after the state budget process is completed. We know that is ongoing. It has stalled in certain ways. But I think this is an enormously consequential decision. And as I write with a variety of reasons in this opinion column, I think it is time for Tony Evers to pass the torch. He has served the state well. He has been a good governor. This is not an argument based on, you know, particular ideological differences or policy disagreements,
or
that he's been corrupt, or there's been any kind of regrettable actions while he's been in office. He has served the state well. Mm-hmm. Job well done by two-term Tony. I just think that at a certain point, we have to recognize that Democrats have a problem with their inability to pass the torch to the next generation of leaders. Mm-hmm. And I think running a candidate who is in his mid-70s, Tony Evers will be 75 in November 2026 when he is on the ballot for re-election, meaning he will turn 79 while in office were he to be elected to that third term. Right. And I think that would make him one of the oldest governors in the country. And at this moment when, you know, after everything that happened with Joe Biden's catastrophic 2024, with so many people wanting more of a fight from Democrats in leadership, mm-hmm. wanting some new faces, wanting some new blood in leadership, I think not only would this be the right decision for Wisconsin to pass the torch at a reasonable time, I think this is something that would have ramifications nationally as well, because everybody knows, you know, everybody is always watching Wisconsin in the spotlight.
We get a lot of attention.
Politics.
Yes, we do.
And it is one thing when you have somebody like Dick Durbin, who is in a safe blue seat in Illinois. He's 80 years old. He announced he's retiring. It's another when you have a fairly popular swing state governor who at age 73 right now would decide to retire and step aside and pass the torch to the next generation. So that is what I think he should do. Again, this is, I wanted to start this conversation. I think this is an important one to be having. I do think there are plenty of reasons that I've heard from people this week that are, you know, other opinions. This is an actual both sides conversation, not one of the fake both sides conversations I know you guys talk about a lot here on the show. So I think this is a genuine discussion that we need to be having. And I think refusing to have it, you know, we're going into the Wisconsin Democratic Party's convention
this weekend.
They're talking about the road to 2026. Are we going to bury our heads in the sand and not have this conversation about who's going to be at the top of the ticket and whether that person is too old to be running for office?
And I think two things to point out. First of all, I don't believe, Dan, in all of your reporting that you've done and all the words you've written and all the time you've poured into various topics on this state, you didn't come to this point of view lightly. You didn't just wake up one morning and say, yeah, I'm going to write this and see what happens. You think about these topics. You put the information in your brain and you decide. And I'm sure it wasn't an easy decision to both come to and to put out there, because as we've been talking about it network wide, you're getting pushback on it, which we will talk about a little bit later. But the other thing too is, I think the Dick Durbin example is a very good one, because we've been hearing from and this is, there's no denying this. We've been hearing from Democrats, liberals, and progressives. It's time for the old guard to step down. And I'm talking about the Dick Durbins, the Chuck Schumers, the Nancy Pelosi's. They're getting up there in age, and you can hate me for saying the word age, but it is after the discussion with Joe Biden and the one people are having about Donald Trump, it's part of the point. And
Bernie Sanders needs to kind of pass the torch in his realm too, you know? So, yeah.
Stop saying Bernie Sanders can be president, everybody. I'm tired of hearing about that one. But yeah, I mean, these are all points that brought you to your place, your decision. And I think that, and Democrats come at me. I worked in county politics. One of the hardest things we had was, hardest times doing was getting the upper echelon of that party to find new blood. And not only that, but not just take their money and get them to like come to the meetings, but also
but
say
support
to them,
them.
But to, well, support them and look at them and say, hey, so-and-so, I see you as a leader. We're going to mentor you into a place where we want you to serve on this board or do this and that. It's people holding on to power. And this is not me talking about Tony Evers right now. I'm talking about the party, because my bigger problem actually is with the party. I think Tony Evers has a huge, wonderful heart. He loves the state. He loves the people. And I think he wants to do more good. But there comes a point, Dan, you were correct, where we have to look at who's next, because while the Democrats have a bunch of names in the state, you can name 5, 6, 7 people who could run, but do any of them have the juice to run against one of the, I guess now, 3, possibly 4 Republicans who want to run for next year? You have to look at it and say, we need to do some long-term planning.
And and look at the bench.
Exactly.
And look at the bench. 855-752-4842. Dan Schaefer is here from the Recombobulation area talking about his latest column in which he posits that it's time for Governor Evers to pass the torch. Carmela from Milwaukee has been waiting on the line. Good morning, Carmela. What do you think about this?
I have a lot of opinions about this. The other day when Dan, Matt, and Angela were on, I tried calling in. So my gut reaction was, I don't want to say offended, but I was like, really? Every time, like, I feel like the Democrats, like, want to move forward and with their messaging. And that was the big thing we got from the last election, that MAGA and Republicans, they all had the same messaging. And then we seem to take a step back. And I understand everything that Dan has said, and I have the utmost respect. And I even, you know, I can see that. But that's not how it is now. And I understand the fear of it. But he's been an effective governor, and I think we can move forward. And I did have a question. Let's say he gets elected and he dies in office. Isn't it the lieutenant governor who would take over, maybe temporarily? I don't know how it works.
Yep.
But then that's
how it would work.
Governor is elected separately.
Mm-hmm.
So we've elected that person. So I just feel like our messaging always seems to, we take a step backwards and we're not united. And that's what my gut reaction was when I heard you drop this article the other day. So
I appreciate it, Camarello. Thank you. Thank you so much. Really appreciate it.
Yeah. I mean, definitely a lot of good points made there. I would say that, like, after 2024, I think the Democrats needed to do a little bit of soul searching on where the party needs to go next. It's like, you know, I'm a big sports fan, right? Like, yeah. If your team loses, doesn't make it to the Super Bowl, doesn't make it to the championship, you want to make some changes to maybe you'll have a better chance to win next season. And when I look back at what the biggest problems were for Democrats in 2024, there are some messaging problems. There are some, you know, certain things, certain policy problems out there. But I think one of the biggest problems is the fact that Joe Biden was running for a second term when he shouldn't have been running for a second term.
Yep.
And that Democrats more generally just refused to have the conversation when it was the right time to have the conversation. Right. In 2023, early 2024, it became so late that Kamala Harris only had 100 days to dig out of a huge hole that Joe Biden had left for her. And, you know, I think there were some good aspects of her campaign, some that you might want to do differently. But also at the same time, I think Joe Biden, had he stayed on the ticket, was on track to have the biggest blowout loss for a president since Barack Obama's 2008 election. I think, you know, I think if he had stayed on the ticket, I think Tammy Baldwin loses in Wisconsin. I think a number of Senate and Assembly seats go a different direction.
No kidding.
And I think Trump could have won like the next wave of, you know, kind of purplish states like Minnesota, Virginia, New Hampshire, kind of that next group there. I think this would have been like a 350 electoral vote wipeout that would have led to a handful of more Republican senators. It would have led to a real, you know, more down ballot disaster for Democrats. And so I think you look back to that. I think that is the biggest thing that Democrats need to correct. I think, you know, when I was in college and Barack Obama was having his rise in 2007 and 2008. I think part of what was so thrilling about that is because it seemed to signify the next generation of American politics. That we are turning the page,
a new era,
a new generation, and that Democrats were positioning themselves as the party of the future. I don't think anybody's saying that about Democrats right now. I don't think you could even reasonably make that argument about Democrats right now.
If you're just joining us, we are talking to Civic Media's political editor, Dan Schaefer, and we are discussing his newest opinion piece. I want to say opinion piece in the recombobulation area, discussing whether or not Tony Evers should go for a third term. And I think a couple things to that, what you're saying, I agree with is one, I think that one of the biggest problems Democrats had was that Joe Biden said in his first campaign, he was going to be a bridge to the next president. And when he started talking about a second term, nobody in them was like, wait, hold on, what now?
Right.
Immediately, it wasn't far after he won election where he started talking about a second term. Also, I think with Barack Obama, I think he was a transformative figure. He changed the way people campaigned, and I think that's wonderful. And I worked for the campaign. I was employed by him. But also, he wasn't I don't know what the word is. He showed up. He ran for office. He came in and he said, "This is who I am." And the Democrats embraced him. They love it. But they weren't looking at the prospects like you do in baseball.
Right.
And
right.
People thought, "Well, we have Barack Obama, so everything's going to be different now because we had Barack Obama, and all the other candidates will be exactly like." No, they're not. And then finally, in the talk about what could have happened in the 2024 election if Joe Biden would have stayed on, not only did Tammy Baldwin, not only would she have lost most likely, she barely won this time. She barely won re-election against Eric Hovde. And I think that does make a good point that if Joe Biden was on the ballot, it would have been worse. And also, whatever win Tony Evers got in 2022, that doesn't guarantee a blowout victory next year anyway. So
third term is tough.
Yep.
Third term is tough.
We're going to continue our conversation with Dan Schaefer, Civic Media's political editor and creator of the Recombobulation Area. Gene and Andrew, I see you there. We will take you on the other side. Stay close. You are listening to Matt and Air on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In discussions over the so-called Big Beautiful Bill, backed by Donald Trump, that's making its way through Congress, none other than Wisconsin Senator Ron Johnson has emerged as the most prominent Republican critic of the bill, saying at a recent Milwaukee Press Club event that it is, quote, not even close to adequate. Johnson has said he wants spending cuts to go even further, including making cuts to Medicaid. But Johnson's position as a critic of this bill makes him especially influential in these negotiations. But let's not forget the last time he was in a similar position. In 2017, he was a critic of the Trump tax cut bill, but what he fought for was a tax break for certain types of businesses, perhaps not coincidentally, businesses owned by his largest donors, Dick and Liz Uline. In 2018 alone, the Ulines received more than $200 million in tax breaks because of this bill. So as the Big Beautiful Bill is negotiated in the Senate, let's not forget this piece of recent history.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area. The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Ken, as I like to call him, my least favorite Martin, chairman of the Democratic National Committee.
The other night I said to myself for the first time, I don't know if I want to do this anymore.
Matt Flynn.
You go into combat and the general goes, I'm afraid. He reminds me of the coach of the Jets back in the 90s. The other team would come on the field and say, boy, they look big. No, I swear to God. And the Jets lost 12 games. I mean, right? You can't have this kind of stuff. Get this guy out of here. Put in Ben Wickler.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local civic media radio station. And on the app.
My name is DeMar Hamlin. I play for the Buffalo Bills, and I play safety. CPR saved my life. I've teamed up with the American Heart Association as a national ambassador to help create a nation of lifesavers, turning bystanders into lifesavers. Through CPR education and access to AEDs, nearly 3 out of 4 cardiac arrests that don't happen in hospitals happen in homes. Join me to ensure everyone has the chance to live longer, healthier lives. Visit heart.org/nation.
The Elder Care Locator is here to help you live your best life as you age at home. Our call center advisors are ready to connect you with trustworthy local experts. Help is just a phone call away at 1-800-677-1116.
As Wisconsin as a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. He is Civic Media's political editor, the creator of the multi-award-winning Recombobulation Area. And we are talking about his recent column, opinion column, yes, to which we are all entitled, an opinion, on whether or not Governor Tony Evers should seek a third term. I'm going to take a couple of phone calls for people who have been very patient. Jean from Eau Claire, thank you for waiting. Jean, what do you want to say about this?
Okay. I've been following our government for years and years and watching the devilization of the word Democrat and liberal and crap like that on all the radio stations. Now, I have to say, Tony Evers, everybody knows Tony Evers. Everybody likes Tony Evers. I live on a side where we don't get all the news. That's why I thought it was such a great thing when civic media came on and people were getting the news. Tony Evers has been on our side of the state more than ever in our history, working on roads, visiting with groups, seeing the kids. I mean, everybody knows Tony Evers. And we know what those guys do. Tammy Baldwin may have almost lost before because they were putting the most notorious rotten ads that I've ever seen in my life on Tammy Baldwin. Now, Tony Evers is supported by independents like myself, Democrats, and Republicans. I have not heard anybody run down Tony Evers.
I, I appreciate it, Gene. We got a couple more phone calls that I want to take before we get to Dan's response. Andrew from Madison, thank you for waiting. Andrew, what did you want to say about this?
Hi, Dan. First off, thanks for rocking the boat. I really appreciate that. I don't think enough people do that. The Doge cuts just passed the House a day or two ago by a smaller margin than the amount of Democrats who have died in the House in the last 4 months. And Joe Biden, by not stepping down, probably just condemned us to at least 4 years of Trump, maybe worse. And I just can't believe that we're still having this conversation. How many times do we have to make the same mistake before we change course? Thank you.
Appreciate it, Andrew. And John from Green Bay, we're going to take you right now. John, thank you for calling. John, what do you want to say about this?
Hey, thanks for letting me on. Quick question for Dan. I enjoyed the list that you put the other day, but when we look at, you know, you created a list of Democrats. How did you come about that list? Because I kind of feel that we need people that are going to be more prominent, right? I mean, Sarah Rodriguez, yes, is lieutenant governor, but when was the last lieutenant governor to ascend to the governorship elected? Was it Gaylord Nelson, maybe? I think it's been a while, right? Josh Call certainly has won a state race. Josh makes Jim Doyle look like Mr. Personality. What is your thought process on how do you get these people into an active role statewide? I'm up in Green Bay. We feel like we're left out.
Yeah.
I appreciate it, John. Thank you so much. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, so the list that I ran through, and this is based on some reporting and some, you know, based on, you know, who I think would be the most likely people to run. So the list that I had of potential Democratic candidates, and I think these are all more than qualified candidates. I may favor some over others, but I think the point of this also is to let the voters decide and not, you know, have a handpicked candidate, because right. I think mm-hmm. Democrats yeah. have avoided primaries to their own detriment as well. So the list I had was Attorney General Josh Call, Secretary of State Sarah Godlewski, Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez, State Senator Kelda Royce, Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley, and soon to be former party chair Ben Wickler, and undoubtedly a few more. Yeah. So I think that would be kind of the short list. And you can kind of see it with Wisconsin Democratic Party's. Most of these candidates on the list have hospitality suites at the Wisconsin Democratic Party's convention this week.
Oh,
so
no
it does
kidding.
Not exactly it does not exactly seem like a coincidence that, yeah. you know, Sarah Rodriguez and David Crowley and some other folks have these hospitality suites set up for the weekend. And I think they would be on the short list of mm-hmm. people who would run ahead. Would Tony Evers not seek a third term?
I just think that, you know, the automatic assumption of Tony Evers as the next person to also. One of the big complaints last year during the presidential election was the handing of the torch directly to Kamala Harris
with no primary,
no chance for anyone to stand up and say, I would like to be elected as well. And I think by saying Tony Evers needs to be the guy and he, you know, we need to stand behind Tony also detracts from that point or adds to that point that there are other people out there. If Tony Evers wants to run again, that's fine. But we should in no way, shape, or form be upset about what happened last year and say that people should sit down next year. Let people run. If anyone on that list wants to run, they should run. There should be a primary. We should hear from the people because a primary will tell us if the side who's voting for, or if the state who wants to employ him likes him, he will make it through and he will be the guy or he'll be the person on the ballot. But we need to have the process as well. You can't complain about what didn't happen last year and be okay with shirking it off next year. That's how I've seen it too.
And I think the donor class and the consultant class likes to avoid primaries because then they don't have to spend any money on them. But I think there's also this iron sharpens iron quality of these primaries that makes the candidate stronger. The example I used in the piece is the 2022 Senate race where all the candidates dropped out before in favor of Mandela Barnes.
Right.
And then, you know, I think Barnes still probably overperformed expectations in that race. But also right after he won that primary, he seemed really flat footed in responding to the attacks that came from Ron Johnson mm-hmm. and his backers. So I think it would be a good thing to have primaries. And as so many people are talking about, what's next for the Democratic Party? Where should the party go from here? It's not the consultants who should be making this decision. It's not people who are looking for the next Joe Rogan of the left. It's the voters. It's the people who should be deciding what's next for the Democratic Party, what's next for the country.
We have news coming up next. And then when we return, we will lighten it up with a little audio sorbet. Day weddings versus night weddings. The important issues of our day. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Stay with us. I need you to recombobulate me. I want you to recombobulate me.
from the center, WRCE. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For WRCE 107.7 and AM 1450 News, I'm Tim Thede. National and global economic conditions top the list of concerns for state business leaders, according to the latest Wisconsin Employer Survey. Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce, the Combined Manufacturers Association, and State Chamber of Commerce conducts the survey twice a year to gauge the top issues facing the state's business climate. When asked what is the biggest concern facing your business, 36% of the respondents said it was the state of the national economy, while 13% said it was global economic conditions. Healthcare costs and labor availability also ranked within the responses. Kurt R. Bauer, WMC president and CEO, said uncertainty always has an economic impact. Trade, the status of the federal budget reconciliation package, and unnerving geopolitics are unpredictable at best right now. So it is no surprise that Wisconsin business leaders are concerned about how their business and the broader economy will fare in the months and years to come. Bauer went on to say that uncertainty is likely the reason why hiring has become easier. Despite the uncertainty, 86% of survey respondents say that their business was profitable in the last 6 months, and 92% predict that they will be profitable through the end of 2025. Business leaders also rate the Wisconsin and U.S. economies about the same, with 20% calling the Wisconsin economy strong, 68% calling it moderate, and 12% saying it is weak. For WRCE News, I'm Tim Thede.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. David Lynch was prepping a Netflix series before he passed away earlier this year at the age of 78. According to IndieWire, he had assembled a cast of his favorites, including Naomi Watts, Kyle MacLachlan, and Laura Dern, for a show he was prepping called Unrecorded Night. Lynch's daughter Jennifer, also a filmmaker, says there was a finished script that might now be released as a book, adding that she and her siblings would not try to make one of his ideas themselves. Sources say the show was set in Los Angeles in Old Hollywood. Would have been nice to see what he did with that. Actor Harris Yulin has passed away at the age of 87. Yulin's credits include films like Ghostbusters, Scarface, and Clear and Present Danger. But recently, he was probably most recognizable for his role as Buddy in Ozark, the old tough guy who lived with the Bird family. Yulin was nominated for an Emmy Award for his guest appearance on the show Frasier. He was an old-school actor who had passion for the craft and was a solid addition to any cast he joined. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Mixed skies today with mild highs making it to the upper 70s. Still got a breezy east wind and, of course, chances of showers and maybe a small storm later this afternoon. Then tomorrow, plenty of sunshine and warm temperatures scraping 80 degrees. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 62 degrees.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
We need a fun listener name, something the followers of the show can call themselves. I thought, how about Couch Potatoes?
Potatoes?
I said it as a joke, and Todd cracked up. He goes, I love that. Whatever it is, folks, embrace your inner couch potato. We are not meant to work in the farms and hunt food. We were 1,000 years ago. But now, I think God wants us to sit back and be entertained.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
This is your captain. We are going to be experiencing some slight turbulence. Please fasten your... Oh, hold on. Just got a video of my cat.
Imagine the pilot of an airplane was as confident as you are texting and driving. Seems kind of crazy when you put it like that.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Maggie Dawn.
At 4:30, I'm joined by the ranking Democrat on the Joint Finance Committee, Senator LaTanya Johnson, to talk about the MAGA regime's denial of reality as federal budget cuts loom.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Dan Schaefer is here, as he is every Friday, Civic Media's political editor and the creator of the multi-award-winning Recombobulation Area. Dan out with an opinion column this week on Governor Evers running for a third term. And I wanted to share a couple of things that came in on the text line as we were in the news break. Steve from Green Bay, listening on WGBW, says, I'm 26. What I've noticed is that most people my age that do vote Democratic only do it so Republicans don't win, not necessarily because they agree with Democrats. I myself feel that Democrats don't represent or they contradict positions that they were strongly for before I was born.
Maybe it's time to pass the torch a little bit to connect with that younger generation. They're losing Gen Z voters, Democrats need to make a change there.
Julie from Wausau, I agree that Democrats need to work on passing the torch. Biden's legacy would have been great if he had done so. Instead, he ended it poorly. Evers has been a fantastic governor. He can keep that reputation if he's a bridge now, and that would look good for our party. Steve from Milwaukee, I can see Godlewski or Crowley, but Wisconsin has a lot of issues with racism, so I'm not even sure about David Crowley.
Those are all fantastic points, and I think that, you know, the notion that Democrats thought they owned the Gen Z vote simply because they're young, all those, I mean, I'm an idiot. When I was watching the 2024 like election and those weeks before, you saw those students lining up to vote early.
All those young people.
Oh my gosh, the energy is there. And you're like, oh, they voted for Donald Trump because they love Joe Rogan and, you know, what for whatever else reason. And some of them probably also have political opinions. I'm not discounting that. But it was that notion of, oh, they're young or they're from a city or they're a person of color or they're whatever. They assumed they were voting.
And they must be
Democrats. Wow, were they wrong.
Yeah, boy, were they wrong. So you've taken some heat from all kinds of directions about this.
It's been an interesting week. So I wanted to respond to a couple things that had happened in media in response to this. So one was from Dan O'Donnell, talker on conservative talk radio. He talked about my piece. He actually had some complimentary words for me in the recombobulation area, which I don't really know how to take, frankly.
Just accept the compliments.
Sure,
hey, thank you.
Sure, we'll just move it along there. But he made the point that my piece was part of a larger shadowy effort to launch a coup against Governor Evers and install Ben Wickler as the next candidate. And he insinuated that there had been people whispering in my ear about this column and that I, just a guy writing an opinion column, am behind some sort of palace coup to move Evers out and have Wickler installed as
you
the next
don't
candidate.
Don't even recognize your own power, Dan Schaefer. Isn't that something? Leading a shadow coup to install Ben Wickler. Wow.
And Wisconsin Right Now has talked about this on their Twitter feed as well, as saying that this is some sort of canary in the coal mine to test what's ahead. No, I am not taking, to be absolutely 100% clear, there's nobody whispering in my ear about this column. There is no shadowy force behind this. This is just a guy writing an opinion column on an independent newsletter called the Recombobulation Area. That's all it is. It's not that complicated. It's just a guy with an opinion. That's all.
Well, and I do want to point out as well that because it is an opinion column, one rarely goes to other people to ask for quotes in an opinion piece.
Yes, and that's the other thing I wanted to respond to. So Joe Zepecki, who was a candidate for chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin.
Friend
of mine as well. He was on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow yesterday. He was not thrilled with my view on this, which is fine. We can, you know, disagree without being disagreeable. I have those types of conversations with folks all the time. But he said that as a working journalist, I should have gotten people on the record or something like that. And he said that he noted that I didn't quote anybody in this story. Well, you know what? It was an opinion column.
Which is why
I do reporting. I do original reporting and I do opinion columns. This one is an opinion column. I wanted this to be my view, not Civic Media's view, not even necessarily the editorial viewpoint of the Recombobulation Area. This opinion is mine and mine alone. And so that's why I wanted to write it that way.
As a human solo person.
Additionally, yes. Mr. Zepecki also said.
Sorry, I apologize. Sorry.
Additionally, Mr. Zepecki also said that this conversation is happening only in Dan's own head, and that it is not a conversation that is largely happening. I think that is absurd. I think the conversation about what Tony Evers is doing next absolutely is a conversation. He is asked about his political future every time there is a public media availability. This comes up all the time in conversations. And so I think Zepecki is kind of echoing much the same as the consultant class that he is a part of and the Democratic Party establishment that he is a part of was doing in 2023 and 2024 when they were putting their heads in the sand and refusing to have the conversation about Joe Biden then, too. I think we need to have this conversation right now. And I think it is happening now as well.
Well, there is no point in just saying, well, we can't talk about this. I mean, that doesn't help anybody.
Right.
It doesn't help
anybody.
Just
stand there and
closing
don't move.
Maybe
no one will notice that Tony Evers is old.
Yeah, we're
Come
just
going
to hide. No, for heaven's sake. So let's at least talk about it like adults. I don't see a problem with that.
I think that, you know, we know from personal experience watching even like a couple not talk about it is not healthy for the relationship. And this is not a healthy way of doing things. And I will say this, too, in response to Joe Zepecki's statement about it only happening in your head. We had the caller previously who was talking about this. Mm-hmm. So it's not just you. And if it's you and him, that means other people are talking about it. And here's the other thing, too. It's not just a statewide issue. It's a nationwide issue because what you said earlier, what happens in Wisconsin has ripple effects for the country. And if Governor Evers were to step down and say, no, I'm going to be a bridge. We're going to work together to find the best person to run. We'll have a robust primary and we will work together and have a solid message for the people of Wisconsin. That says loads more than him saying, I'm going for a third term and everyone being low key frustrated and saying nothing and possibly not winning. There's no guarantee. And I think you pointed out, too, in the article, third terms are hard to win.
Yeah. How could we not be having this conversation? Yeah. I think it is political malpractice to be, I don't know, running for the chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, talking about the road to 2026 and not talking about who's going to be on the top of the ticket.
I think what we're doing. Yeah. And I think what we're doing here is we're having the conversation.
Yeah.
The three of us aren't going to tell Tony Evers what to do.
No. Of course not. Like he's going to listen to us anyway.
Yeah. He'll make his decision with his family. And ultimately it's up to him to say yes or no. But just to say we shouldn't even have the conversation, I think, is irresponsible to talk about. Let's just talk about it. But yeah, sorry. I'm a little frustrated with
Do we maybe need a little sorbet now?
We got a phone call I want to take. 855-752-4842 if you would like to join this conversation. Troy from Mount Horeb on the line. Good morning, Troy. Thank you for joining us.
Hi. Thank you for having me. Real quickly, what's the drop-dead time frame for Tony to make this decision?
Good question, Troy. Everybody. Appreciate it. Thank you.
I mean, he said he would make it after the budget process that typically wraps by July 1st. I don't know if that's going
to
happen.
That's not going to happen this year. No.
You know, I think, you know, sometimes candidates will announce later in Wisconsin. Ron Johnson typically announces his reelection bids after saying he's not going to run for reelection later in the process. Yeah. So, you know, there is no real, you know, drop dead date. Our primaries, part of the problem with this is the primary is in August, which is not the best time to have a primary. I wish it was part of the April spring election. That's a different conversation for a different day, though.
Right.
Yeah. I think that if he doesn't announce before a full year beforehand, that's going to be detrimental for everybody because then you're going to have people on this list you talked about who are going to be waiting and they're going to be wasting their time, their money and their resources. And then if he announces, then they're like, all right, I'm not going to announce. But if he doesn't announce by fall, people are already a couple steps behind because I think with Tony Evers, I still think there'll be a primary. Without Tony Evers, it's going to be a big primary. A lot of people are going to run from the very ridiculous to the very, very competent and able. But there's still going to be, I think, a lot of people running then.
And I think that'd be a good thing. Actually.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, and I think it will be interesting to see who the Republicans decide to bring back. I know that we have a couple, at least two, I think, here in Wisconsin. But they're going to bring Eric Hovde back.
You think so?
Absolutely. Yeah. Because Eric can pay for part of it.
That's
part of it too. Someone who's got some bank so that they don't have to shell out any money and the candidate can do it. At least by them, partially by themselves. I think that's one of the
GOP field is bleak right now.
For them.
I mean, Josh Shulman, terrible candidate.
Tom Tiffany,
not a strong candidate himself. No. Not a good fundraiser. He's raised his profile in right wing media, but I don't know if he has a crossover appeal outside of a deep red district at all.
I would be.
You're going to get like a blue Ozaukee County if Tom Tiffany runs.
Well, and I would just be curious to know outside of his district how many people are even familiar with him.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he is just. Tom Tiffany has just started talking recently. Like, he was quiet. Like, he was Ron Johnson in his first term. Ron Johnson didn't say a peep in his first term, and Tom Tiffany didn't say a word. And then all of a sudden, it really came up last year. He started popping up more and more in interviews. Mm-hmm. And you said it to me. He's like, oh, he wants to run for governor. I'm like, that makes total sense.
Well, you have to increase your profile. You have to start at least getting some name recognition. And that's why I think partially they will bring Hovde back, because he's already got some name recognition already. Mm-hmm. And I understand, what has he shaved now? So he can start a whole series of really searing ads.
There are lakes that have not yet been set upon axes which need to be thrown.
Yes.
And crazy, crazy, crazy statements to make. So
we did have Steve from Milwaukee mentioning Chris Larson. I agree with almost everything Larson has been saying about the budget. I would love to see him run for governor.
He's run for things before. I wouldn't surprise me to see him run. But I don't think he would be at the top of the list, though, because, I mean, it's sometimes you see people run for different offices and then not win or whatever. I think that complicates things to a certain extent.
Also,
too.
How much success do Milwaukee politicians have running for governor? Because Tom Barrett lost twice.
I think
when you come from Milwaukee, nothing against Chris Larson. Like, that's the thing, is everyone on your list. And also, I like Tony Evers a lot, by the way. So don't think I'm sitting here going, get him out of here.
Right.
But first line of my column is Tony Evers has been a very good governor.
There you go.
Yeah.
But like, I think with Chris Larson, I think there is a thing of Milwaukee on
you. I agree with you.
When you come from Milwaukee, it's like, oh, you want to come from the big city and tell me what to do? No. So I think if he's going to run, he has to work really hard to shake that image off of his brand.
That would be an issue if David Crowley were to run, if Cavalier Johnson were to run. I think there would be, and then if you get a bunch of Milwaukee people, does that split Milwaukee vote? Complicated primary. I'm getting way too ahead of
interesting
myself.
Interesting days ahead.
But we're having the conversation.
Yes.
We can talk about hard things. Subscribe to the multi award-winning Recombobulation Area. Dan Schaefer joins us every Friday, Civic Media's political editor. Thank you so much, you troublemaker, you.
Yeah, well, somebody's got to do it. Somebody's got to do it, Jane.
Stay with us when we return. We're going to wrap up the show with this shouldn't be a thing, you dirty rat edition. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We will be right back.
As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network. Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
The Trump administration arresting and deporting these supposed gang members without giving them due process is one of the steps to becoming an authoritarian government.
Dale, thank you so much for the call. And again, I second all of that. Bring them all back and afford them the due process that's a part of our nation, a part of this law, and a part of our tradition in administering justice.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
All right, time to visit with Melissa Baldoff as we talk climate issues. Acting FEMA chief told staff he didn't know about U.S. hurricane seasons.
What?
Speechless too.
I mean,
I love it. We're all just sitting here like, what?
If it is a joke, and I don't know that it is, it's not a funny one. We've seen more deadly hurricanes, so we have every reason to expect it will be a bad hurricane season.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Being blind doesn't look how others may think.
Retinitis pigmentosa aimed to overwhelm my family.
It tried to cut me down.
I know where to find support.
Learn more at fightingblindness.org, a public service message from the Foundation Fighting Blindness.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Your local Civic Media radio station is your source for real news and great conversation, plus fun and exciting contests. For a complete list of contest rules, log on wrce.fm/contest-terms. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Because I love you and you're just not ready yet.
Putting your kids in the right seat for their age and size is an act of love. Check that your kids are in the right seat at NHTSA.gov/the right seat. Love protects. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Buck. Cavitini on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine, where you can always join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Our thanks to Dan Schaefer, Civic Media's political editor and creator of the Recombobulation Area, for joining us, as he always does. Great conversation. Worth having.
Yes.
Definitely.
Yes.
It's
okay.
We need to talk about things. Mm-hmm. Also, just a reminder, don't go too far away. Make sure you have the Civic Media app on your phone. Coming up after 11 o'clock, you want to be listening for the keyword. It is our statewide Text to Win Scani Summer Contest. After 11 o'clock, we will give you a keyword that you want to text in via the Civic Media app only. Spelling counts.
Yes, it does.
You got to spell the word right. And then you're in the running for a hot $100 cash or a pair of Brewers Club level tickets. And then everyone in the running, whether or not you win an hourly prize, everyone is in the running for one of two grand prizes, a little getaway to either Door County or Baraboo with gas to get you there. You could be a winner just like Rhonda, listening in Madison on WMDX.
Congratulations, Rhonda.
Well done, Rhonda. And again, that word coming up after the 11 o'clock news or somewhere in the 11 o'clock hour. And then Todd Alba with a word, Maggie Dawn with the final one at 4 o'clock today, the final day of our statewide Text to Win Scani Summer Contest. Coming up next week, busy week.
Yes.
Randy Manner, retired Major General, is going to be joining us on Tuesday to talk about
So much.
There's so much. And he's been all over cable news.
Yes, he has.
He is a wonderful resource. He was in the Army for more than 30 years.
Yeah.
And really just gives us some interesting perspectives and some insider perspective, especially when we see the Trump administration sending in the National Guard, sending in troops into Los Angeles, into a state that did not request this.
Yeah. Yep. He's the kind of guy, he's one of the, you know, we don't generally have a guest on for an hour, but he's one of those guys we could, because you could talk to about so many
things. There's so much.
Things.
Yep. So Randy Manor joining us on Tuesday. Dr. Kristen Lierley will be here with us next week and so much more. Right now, though, 10:55, getting late, Calvin. That means it's time for
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
If you ever have a thing you think should not be, send it into Greg and me at janesays@civicmedia.us. This from wideopenspaces.com, Matthew Wilson with the byline. The headline reads, TikToker thought she was feeding a beaver. It turned out to be a water rat. TikToker Nissi Sharma traveling in Europe when she encountered an animal she thought was a beaver. Turned out, it's a rat. Sharma told Newsweek magazine, I was in Prague for a trip exploring the city. I had never walked down near the riverbanks before. This time I decided to take a walk down the riverbanks up to the water. I saw an animal coming close to the rocks where people can stand. She thought it was just a friendly beaver approaching her. That wasn't it. Here's her quote. I assumed it was a beaver. As to me, it looks pretty similar, and I don't know much about beavers apart from they live in rivers.
Oh, okay.
I thought since it was a beaver, we could feed it. Although I'd never seen a beaver in real life before, they're often portrayed as friendly in the media, so I started feeding it sandwiches.
Cartoons. She means cartoons.
Weeks later, she learned that it was actually a nutria, yeah, which is a water rat or a river rat.
Sounds like a drink you drink when you get old for protein.
She said it wasn't until a few weeks later, I discovered I was feeding sandwiches not to a beaver, but a rat. I had showed my parents the video and they corrected me. I went close to thinking it was a beaver because they are portrayed as friendly. When I did a little research afterwards, I found out beavers are actually quite hostile and can be dangerous. On the other hand, most people would hesitate to get close to a rodent, like the one in the video, because they have a bad image. But she says the nutria was super friendly.
Okay.
There is nothing. And there's a photo in this article that, mm-hmm, Greg will put in the show notes.
Yep.
There is nothing beaver-like about a water rat.
No.
Nothing.
The biggest tell is the tail.
Yes. Beavers have the big flat tail, you know?
Yep.
And they don't look like something out of Ratatouille.
If she's a TikToker, right?
She is a TikToker.
She must have posted this to her TikTok page. And there has to have been at least one, if not 50,000 comments that said,
that's not.
Young lady, that is not a beaver.
That's not a beaver.
That is a rat.
A water rat.
A nutria?
A nutria.
I like that name. I mean, I'm glad it was nice to her. I'm glad
didn't get bit.
Got a sandwich.
That's good.
But just the notion that it took her parents correcting her, which I'm sure one or both of them had their head in their hands going, that's not a beaver, love.
Oh, we've so failed as parents.
Yeah. Yep.
That wraps up today's episode of
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
Yeah, wow, careful. thank you, Greg and Calvin, and all of our engineers, because without you, absolutely nothing works. And thank you most of all for calling and for texting and for listening. It means the world. I hope you find some joy over the weekend, even if it's just a teeny little bit, and you have the chance to share it. Keep it right here. We got news coming up next, followed by Tom Hartman, 11 to 2, Todd Alba, 2 to 4, Maggie Dawn, 4 to 6, Pete Schwabe, 6 to 8 p.m. with Nightlight. Keep it right here on the Civic Media Radio Network, and we will see you on Monday.
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News. I'm Sherry Preston. Israel has begun stationing troops in all combat arenas through the country as its attack on Iran continues. Iran warning of severe punishment for the strikes. ABC military analyst and former State Department employee Steve Ganyard has more on what's happening.
The Israelis have a large air force, very capable air force, but it's a long way. It's almost 1,000 miles from Tel Aviv to where the nuclear sites are. So it's going to take them some time. Lots of different sorties. We know that there are strikes again, three or four waves today. So let's watch this play out over the next couple weeks, because to take down the whole nuclear program is going to take a lot of time and a lot of strikes.
And he says all of this was well planned.
It's very interesting to see how they're deliberately, piece by piece, taking down the leadership of the military, going base by base, nuclear facility by nuclear facility. That's why this is going to take a couple weeks, but it is a very deliberate plan. The Israelis have had decades to prepare for this.
This is ABC News.